not just him, because moms and dads, when you serve the Lord, your whole house takes on that image of you serving God. And it has an incredible impact on your children, on your family, and especially on you. So I want to encourage you today, if you don't hear anything else I say, do make the declaration that Joshua made. As for me and my house, that means when you walk into your house, no matter what's happening on the outside, that dominion in your home is committed to the serving of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens, He will bless, He will help, He will bring life and encouragement and help to you. Amen? And then Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, and I'm reading it out of the Message translation. He said, long before He laid down earth's foundation, He, God, He had us in mind and had settled on us as the focus of His love. Do you realize that before God ever called or spoke the world into existence, He had you on His mind? That is incredible. To know that God knew before this world even existed, He knew that you would be sitting here today. He had you on His mind. He loved you. He cared for you. And He had the plan already set in motion for you. He had us in mind. He'd settle on us as a focus of His love to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if anybody else here can understand this like I can, but I remember in my home and in my family, we didn't have everything great. It wasn't that great of life that we were living in. And when I read this, and I knew that when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, that the Bible says long, long ago, He knew the moment that I would do it, and He planned on adopting me into His family. Now Jesus is my elder brother. God is my Father, and I'm not who I was. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm moving in the direction who He has created me to be like today. Because I'm in His family. When you and I, when we know Jesus, when we make Him the Lord of my life, no matter what you are raised up in, no matter what you are exposed to, now you are part of the family of God. And brothers and sisters, that can give you hope today. I'm talking today about having hope in your family, having hope for your families today. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says it again. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Every family in heaven and earth is named. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. And when we talk about great strength, the inner man must be strengthened so that we can be strong on the outside. You can have all the muscles in the world, but if you're not strong on the inside, the gates of hell will come against you and will torment you and pull you down and trample you to the ground. But when your inner man is strengthened, when it's strengthened with might through the Spirit of God in the inner man, now you're not only strong on the inside, you're strong on the outside. And wherever you are, wherever you dwell, is strong because Christ now is living inside of you. Come on. Are you with me on that? In verse 17, he goes on to say, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that word dwell is a Greek word. It doesn't just mean that Christ is going to visit you once in a while, once a week. I'll give my time to him. The word dwell means that he comes to live. He sets up residence. He says so that Christ may set up a residence, a home inside of your life. Once there was a home for everything else. But now he says Christ is dwelling in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend or understand with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants you and I, Paul says, you can know, you can comprehend what this width of His love is, what the length and the depth and the height of it is. Whatever your life has been filled with up to here, some people's lives have been filled with pain and discouragement and discontentment. But here Paul says that Jesus wants to come and live inside and dwell and set up that residence. And as a believer in him, our lives can be filled with all kinds of stuff. But his desire is that our lives be full with the fullness of God. And Paul says that we have this ability to comprehend. We have this ability to understand the enormity of this love that he has for us. He says the width, the length, the depth, and the height. He measures it. Some people say, well, you can't understand. You can't measure. But Paul says here, says that you may comprehend it. Not through our intellect, not through our own ability, but when Christ comes and dwells in us, and you see, you look back at your life at what it may have used to been like, or where you were, and now you see where you are and where you're headed, you get the picture of the enormity of his plan that he has for your life. And he uses this metaphor to describe its size, the width, the length, the depth, and the height. Because it's wide enough to include every person. And it's wide enough, the love of Jesus is, to cover every sin. It's long enough to take us from the day that we met him in and through eternity. It's deep enough to reach to the vilest. We sang it this morning. To the vilest of sinners. I don't care how low you've been or how low you are right now. The love of God, it goes deep enough to reach down to wherever you are and pull you up again. And it's high enough, not just to leave you where you're at now, but it's high. The love of God, someday, the Bible says that we'll hear the trump of God and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds. We will spend eternity. It's high. The love of Jesus Christ is high enough to take you and I into heaven. Oh, thank God. I can't stand it when I talk about heaven like that. I get fired up. God wants you and I to do our part, but we can't do what he has been called and created to do in our lives. And then we come to this verse, and people read this verse, and they forget what's before, but I don't want you to. Because now, to him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to what? Our own ability? Our own strength? What we've been born with? No. Because now our inner man is filled with the fullness of God. Now we know what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height of his love for us. Now we have his Holy Spirit inside of us, leading us, controlling us, guiding us to do and to be what he's called us to do. Now to him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works inside of you. My brothers and my sisters, we are living way below the line of where God has called us. He has called us to go above and beyond, do the unthinkable, go to the places that we never thought we could go and accomplish what we never could in our own strength because of him living inside of us today. Oh, I'm thankful for that. And then Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 28 and 29, and I'm reading out this out of the message. He says, in Christ's family, and you are a part of that, there can be no division. That's a good word. I could stop right there. But he says, into Jew and non-Jew, slave and free, male and female. And this is why I like the message, that it makes it so clear. He says, among us, you're all equal. All. There's no big and no little. There's no better or best. You're equal. There's no slave and free. You're equal. Male and female, we have respect for one another. We honor one another. Also, since you are in Christ's family, he said, then you are Abraham's famous descendant. I like that. Heirs according to the covenant promises. Did you catch that? You're equal. None of us, nobody's ahead of one another here. You're in the family of God. And because you're in a common relationship with Christ, you're in Christ's family, if you've made him your Lord and your Savior. if he's the Lord of your life. And then he said, because of that, you are Abraham's famous descendant. Look at your neighbor and just, you don't even have to say nothing. Just like, dude, I didn't know you were famous. Heirs according to the covenant promises. In Christ's family, there is no prejudice. And sometimes we see ourselves like other people see us. We value ourselves like we think other people value us. But in Christ's family, we're all one. Christ is living in us. But he says, in his kingdom, in Christ's family, we are part of Abraham's seed. And the blessing that God had spoken over Abraham, he says, as a Christian, as a part of the family of God, you are a partaker in that. Now, don't lose that now. Galatians chapter 3, 28 and 29. He says, also, since you are Christ's family, you are Abraham's famous descendant. You are heirs according to the covenant promise. Well, I had to go. I had to get a glimpse of that covenant promise. I love that. When I read that together, that's why the Word of God is so important that you add it together. He says, God in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, he said, and the Lord said to Abram, look at this. Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to a land that I'll show you. What's he doing here? Sounds pretty tough. Sounds pretty challenging. Here it is. I'll make you a great nation. I'm reading this in the New Living. I'll bless you, here's the word, and I'll make you famous. Why? So you can drive around and say, look at me, I'm famous. I'm a king's kid. I'm royalty. I got it all. He said, I'll make you famous. Why? And you will be a blessing to others. You know what I found out in my life? That when God blesses me, and I don't use that to become a blessing in some way or another, whether it's encouraging, whether it's giving, whether it's serving, whatever it is. When I do that, I become sour and plugged up and just, I become embittered and nothing's going on in my life. Because God never called a blessing to be upon your life and mine so that we can just contain it all to ourselves. He said, you're blessed. I will bless you. I'll make you famous. How are you famous? By blessing others. By giving to others. By serving others, by being what God has come to do. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, come on, Bible scholars, but to serve. And he said, I will bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families on earth will be blessed through you. Now listen, maybe some of you, you've grown up in that dysfunctional home. Maybe you've been hurt, you've been broken, you've been abused, you've been rejected, whatever has come into your life. Your life isn't over just because of that. Paul says, because you are part of Christ's family, you are Abraham's famous. I just want to tell somebody today that never heard that before. My brother, my sister, on this side, in the middle, over here, you are famous because Jesus is living inside of you. The seed of the living God. God's promise to Abraham. The Bible says in Corinthians that you are grafted into the vine, into the lineage of Jesus Christ. And now Romans 8 says we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You are a part of God's family. So no matter what dysfunction has happened heretofore, I declare over your lives today by the word of the living God, I sow that seed into your families that you have hope for your future. Woo! My goodness, I'm just happy about that. So I want to just leave you with three quick things. Families. Number one, aim for love. 1 Corinthians 14:1. I love the Living Bible sometimes. He said, let love be your highest aim. Let love be your highest aim. If we can take every issue, every problem, every challenge in our home and our family, every single one, if we can wrap it in the context of love, making love our highest aim, we will see some of the challenges that we deal with completely turn around. Praise the Lord. That's the anointing on me bringing that.
Come on, Jeffy. Bring it on, brother. Let love. I love you, Jeff. I love the sound system. I love the static. I love the interference. I love it. But wrap your issues, your challenges with love. 1 Corinthians 13, Living Bible again, verse 4 through 7. Listen to this. We don't read this enough. Love is patient and kind. Love is never jealous or envious. Never boastful or proud. Never haughty or selfish or rude. Hello. Love does not demand its own way. You know, somebody showed me a long time ago, put your name where love is there. It is not irritable or touchy. Some of you need to underline that in your Bible. Put it up on your mirror in the bathroom. Not irritable. Love isn't irritable or touchy. Hey, I get that way sometimes too. Jesus, help me. It doesn't hold grudges. It will hardly even notice when others do wrong. I love people that when they see mistakes and challenges, when I hear about men and women that people say about them, they wouldn't say a bad word about anybody no matter what. That person is a great man or a woman of God. It never takes it around. It's not glad about injustice, but it rejoices whenever truth wins. If you love someone, you'll always be loyal to him no matter what the cost. Hear that? You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and stand your ground in defending him. Let love be your highest aim. Number two, learn to be a builder. Always build up. Don't tear down. Our tongue should never be used as an instrument to tear down. When you use it for that, you'll find out it will become a habitual way of life. And it'll have a tendency and a propensity to take on a life of its own. Things will come out of your mouth you didn't even expect. You don't even know where it came from. But because some people practice that, their tongues tear. They're sharp. They're hurtful. And, you know, some people, they clothe it in, well, I just got to tell the truth. Well, what's truth to you may not be truth in the situation. Be a builder. Yesterday, I went to my grandson Gabriel's football game. And believe it or not, I do keep myself restrained to a point. I mean, I like to win. I love to see people win. And I love my grandkids. I love my kids. But if I knew grandkids were as good as they are, I would have passed having kids, went right to grandkids. Gabe's at football. And, you know, when they first started playing, I wanted to walk out. And my son Ben, he said, Dad, you can't go out on the field. I go, well, why not? You know, I just have the tendency. I go anywhere, do anything. Wherever my foot treads, I own it. So anyways, he said, Dad, you can't do that. If you go out there, Gabe's going to get in trouble. You're going to get thrown out. You just can't do it. Okay. All right. I can take orders. A little. But I, no, I did. So I said, little boy got hurt one day, and I told Ben, I said, Gabe ever gets hurt, I'm telling you. I don't care what you say, the coach, anybody. I'm going out on that field. Boppy's going to go out and pray for him. I don't care what anybody says. And I know my son Ben is like, oh, dear God, please don't let him get hurt. And yesterday, Gabe's running the ball, and somebody smacked him and hurt his hand. And I saw him coming out holding his hand. Well, I'd be getting to walk down the sideline. Ben's there, Dad. I said, I got this. I stood up there. I didn't go out. I looked down at Gabe. He looked up at me. I tell you, I just love my children and my grandkids. He looking around. And I always go like this to him. I always used to do that with the kids. You okay? And he takes his other hand, holds it up. I said, Gabe, hold your head up. You're going to be okay. Building him up. He felt bad. He fumbled the ball. The other team took the ball. And the next time he got out there, I'm standing up there. I said, give the ball to McDonald and let him run it. And I stood back. And Ben's there, Dad, you can't say that. I said, oh, I'm sorry, honey. I'm really sorry. I walked into my office at home last night. I have this picture up on my wall of Garrett when he was just probably this tall. Garrett, my son, the guy that was leading worship today.
He's up singing a song, maybe one of his first solo songs in the church, and a whole bunch of youth are standing. Some, they were in a drama. Aaron Martin, she's behind him in the picture, tears running down her face. And I'm looking at him up there singing. And I'm thinking, see, that just didn't happen today. Him singing that song and him going to Westminster Abbey in London, that just didn't happen. That happened because people were telling him, you can do it. You got an anointing on you. When he said, I don't want to sing. When he told me, I don't want to serve him. We were telling him, you can do it. I remember Ryan, my son Ryan, learning in school, had such a difficult time. I remember taking these white pieces of, like, whiteboard and writing on them and putting them up the stairway in the house and putting things on there for him to remember. Tell him he could do it. Telling him, building inside of him, and instead of succumbing to what everybody else said that he couldn't be. Because God says, if you build, God will bless. Ben, he was a championship wrestler in high school. Man, you know, he doesn't remember what I used to do back then. I mean, he'd be on the wrestling team. He'd be the only one. They played Holly. And Holly, they're tough out there. I mean, they eat cow feed and drink and slap diesel fuel on their face. They're tough. And they're out there. They're pinning everyone. And I looked at Ben. I said, Benny, look at me. See yourself. Ben, you're a winner. You're going to do this. God's inside of you. He go out there. I'll never forget it. He took that kid, pinned him like that. And that other team, I mean the parents, they were coming down there. You want to mess with my son? You mess with me. Winner. Build your children up. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Some of you need to hear that. Your family doesn't need to hear you say, oh, you're stupid, you're no good, you look awful, you don't look this way, you look that way. Let no unwholesome words, talk come out of your mouth, only what is helpful for the building up according to their needs, that it may be benefit those who listen. Build. 1 Thessalonians, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. Encourage. When you build, you create something. When you tear down, you take away every opportunity to grow. And my last point, I'm done. Gotta be and help others to win. Help others win. When you help others win, you win. When you make others look great, you look great. Men, when you bless your wives, how many of you know, you win? Oh, here's some amens on that right now. Ladies, when you bless your husbands, come on, you win. You win. Believe, speak destiny over your children, over your family. Instead of going home and saying, we can't do this, we can't do that, and we're broke, and maybe you don't have the money to do things. We haven't had money to do a million things, but I made a plan a long time ago. I will never say in my house, well, we don't have, we can't afford this, we can't afford that. I'm going to speak the blessing of the Lord over my family, and maybe we are not going to live in the greatest house or drive the fanciest car, but I'm going to tell you something. Our lives are blessed with the blessing of God to bless and to be a blessing to everybody that comes in contact with us. Psalm 18:35. Says, you give me your shield of victory and your right hand sustains me. He says, you stoop down to make me great. Some of you may be down today. Maybe you're feeling bad. I want you to know you're going to win. You're a winner. God is for you. He wants to bless your life and help you, strengthen you, get you out of the mess maybe that you're in. Today can be a brand new day in your life, in your home. There is hope for your family today. Come on. Do you love the Lord today? Do you believe Him to do something good in your life? I want you to close your eyes with me. Bow your head for just a moment. I want to pray with you and for you. I'd like the prayer folk, if you would, come on down to the front. I just want to believe God with you today. Maybe you're here and your family is just in a mess. Maybe you're in a mess. Maybe you don't even have family. You have the family of God here today with you. You never have to be alone another day in your life. because God loves you. He cares for you. What a plan that He has for your life. If you're here today and Jesus has never become number one in your life, if He's not the Lord of your life, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. He can't be Lord just a couple hours a week and not be Lord the rest of your life. He wants to fill you with all the fullness of His Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with Him, listen, you won't want other things. The things that try to destroy you and hurt you, you won't want them. If you have addictions in your life, fill your life with Jesus. Be passionate about Him, and He'll push all those other things out of your life that would try to hurt and control you. If you're having issues in your home with your spouse, your children, fill your home. Serve the Lord. As for me and my house, make a declaration when you go home. We're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to begin to serve God. I'm going to begin to make God a number one priority in my life. I'm not going to let the things of this world squeeze the plan that God has for my life. Some of them are good. They're okay. But when they take the place of who He is in your life, that's when it becomes a detriment. And you will only sustain for so long before destruction and harm and hurt begins to find its way in you. Because the enemy only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It's the only thing that the enemy comes. God's come to give you life and to bless you. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, you need to do that right now. Just say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and my life. Come on, right here, right now. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of me. The Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made. And with the heart, you believe. You have to believe. You have to begin to engage. You have to begin to walk in that place. If you're here today and your family, you've lost some hope, some challenges, some issues have come your way, God says there's hope for you today. I want to pray for you. And then when I close, if you just need somebody to pray with you, lay hands on you, believe God. Maybe you're sick in your body. If you're sick today, there's a miracle in this house for you today. If you're in pain, there is a miracle in this house for you today. Father, I thank you for your glory, your goodness, your power. I thank you for love and healing and restoration. I thank you for hope coming into homes and families today. I thank you, Lord, for the healing power of Jesus Christ. Be upon the lives of your people, Lord, today. I pray for those who are here that maybe have never given their heart to you, that today will be a brand new start in their life because they made that decision. I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody says amen. Listen, if you gave your heart to Christ today, I want you to come down. I want you to tell somebody about it. We got a Bible to give to you. We're going to bless you. If you need prayer for anything in your life before you go, I want you to come down before you leave today. Remember, you're all invited next door. You know, we're having fun with the chili thing, but it's a benefit to help a bunch of kids go on a youth missions trip. And if you come over, you'll get fed and the money will go to a great cause. I love you. God bless you. Come if you need prayer before you leave.